Would you ever think
Adrian?
I'm absolutely fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm over here on a very blustery, wintry, like rainy day in County Clare. But I'm looking out.
Are you bragging or complaining?
A bit of both, Adrian. But I will tell you what, you just brightened up my room and my day by hearing your melodious voice.
Oh boy! Thank you for that. Even if there was a bit of tongue in cheek in it, never mind. I'll take it. Joni, I wanted to ask you first of all. I can hardly believe that you and Cherish the Ladies are 35 years on the road.
Yes, can you believe it? 35 years on the road.
Somewhere, but you unreal. Must have, yeah, you must have started somewhere between your first communion and confirmation. I mean, that's, excuse the pun, but you have a lot of mileage on you, you know.
Yeah, and I'm
having
feeling
traveled.
It.
I know. No complaints now if you're over in Clare. But this has to be, for you, like an experience you haven't had the luxury of having since kind of day one, where, because of the COVID, obviously, the music business in general, from every angle of it, the entertainment industry just flopped overnight.
Yes.
But for you to find yourself, you know, in Clare, in your own house in Clare, my lad, that had to be, for you, kind of a double experience. First of all, your house is sitting there, and God knows you didn't get much use out of it before now, other than a brief visit. But tell us how kind of you feel first of all, getting over there, and now for the first time, you have, a lot of R&R, you know, rest, relaxation, and you also are able to soak in, the Irish from whence you come. Your mom, from Clare, your dad, from Portumna, Galway, up the road of Peace. How did that...
That's right.
How did that kind of take you? Here you are, and you're not just stopping overnight. You're there. You're
well,
here.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Adrian, you hit the nail on the head. The whole entertainment industry was totally cold cocked. Nobody saw this coming, nor did the rest of the world. But I was actually on tour with Cherish the Ladies. We had 23 cities there for March, and I had a dozen people on the road. And wherever we flew to Texas and it hit there, and then we flew to Washington State and it hit there, and then we flew to California and it hit there, and then we flew to Arizona, and everywhere we got there, we would get to the gig, they would tell us the gig was on, and I would fly my 12-piece band and hotels and, you name it, of course, the expenses of the per diems and everything on the road, and everywhere we went, we would get to the show. And just then, the governor or the mayor or somebody would cancel the show.
Yeah.
And then I'd call the next city and say, listen, we've been canceled 3 times now. Will we just, no, we're going ahead. And we'd get there, And
yeah.
Then because it was what's called the force majeure, where nobody's at fault, there was no money for coming forward to cover all these expenses. And we weren't paid for the concerts. We're all out there, for a week. You can imagine the expense, losing all these shows. And anyway, I was glad to get the girls home. And but you're right, it was the first time that I was forced to stop, and I didn't know what the hell to do with myself. I'll be honest with you. Because I'm so used to, like yourself, you know, you never stop, and I'm, because you don't stop, you don't let your wife stop.
No. I have to get there. She doesn't let me stop. I'm all for stopping. As a matter of fact, do you have a spare room there? You know, I don't mind.
I do. Any time for you.
I wouldn't mind hanging out there.
I'm sure. Well, right now, we've been usually preparing for a Christmas tour, and it was the 35th anniversary of Cherish the Lady, so we had a massive tour booked. And it was actually, and I had almost 1,000 people booked on a cruise with 7 months to go. I had a couple of sold out bus tours of Ireland. And, you know, it was going to be the best year of my career, and now it's the worst. But as you say, we just have to roll with the punches. You look back at the pandemic of 1918, and, you know, at least we have televisions, and we have Wi-Fis, and we have the likes that I could be talking to you as clear as a daisy, you know, 3,000 miles away. We have so much more than what these people had to go through back in 100 years ago. But, you know, it's very hard for any of us to be curtailed from our daily way of life, and life has changed. And I think, you know, I do think when the music business opens up, you know, it's going to be a slow train out of the gate for all the bands.
Yeah.
Because what has happened, Adrian, is like any of the shows that were booked for these last few years have now been picked up and moved as a block to the next year. So all those dates where you would be filling dates are no longer able to be filled because all the dates are already filled.
Yeah.
So for musicians, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible time, you know, and people think, oh, you're a musician, you have the life of Riley, but, you know,
sure.
Anybody, you get in the car for a couple of weeks with a band, and I will tell you, as Tom Paxton say, you'll nail your boots to the floor, you'll be so happy to be in your own bed. You know, it's a tough old racket.
But the
one thing we did manage to do, coming back to Clare, it was the first time we always have a massive Christmas tour. It's extremely popular. If we had 150 days for Christmas, we'd fill every single one of them. It's so popular. But because it's the first time we've ever going to be over here in Ireland, so I got the gang together, and just last week we got permission for the government to record a Christmas show that we're going to air. So we had to get very, very strict, like 10 feet from each other, and the whole COVID, you know, we'd have a COVID officer,
right.
and you know, temperatures and masks, and, you know, it had letters, you had to get letters because Ireland's in lockdown. It has been for weeks now. So it's turning the tide, though.
Well, don't book a return trip to New York until we find out our situation is getting worse by the day. But anyway, you're all set. You get no sympathy from me.
No,
very nice.
Well, you know, it is. You know, you watch people arguing about masks at this stage of the game. And I have a brother right now with COVID, and I have a first cousin in intensive care from COVID. I've lost 4 friends, died of it. You know, and it's just people saying that this isn't real. It's a joke, or it's a political pawn.
Yeah.
It's kind of. It's just nonsense talk, you know, crazy. You know, I see the governor of Utah, you know, I'm watching the news here. It's just crazy that people are still arguing about basic, follow the doctor's advices and let's try and get this thing down, you know?
Yeah. You know, there was in the beginning, you know, you mentioned there your brother and so many. In the beginning, we used to have to read about people who, caught the virus, and then once in a while you would, about the number of deaths. We didn't envision that this was going to come to us. Now, when you talk to somebody, almost everybody we know or talk to either has a family member, a friend, or indeed in many more cases than we would want to, there's a death in the family.
Yes.
I don't think we got the message in the beginning. We thought that this was something that was happening, you know, out there, and it wasn't going to land in our own doorstep. But, the reality of the matter is, You know, unfortunately, we haven't gotten a handle on it, and let's hope that we will. I want Johnny to come back. By the way, Anya came up with a black and white photograph of Cherish the Ladies in the studio, in our studio. What was it, 1989? My God.
Oh, I'd love to see. I would love to see that, actually.
I tell you, you and I only. I'm just looking at it here, Johnny. I have to tell you, you and I have only improved. Really, honest to God, we have thrived.
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure I'll agree.
Yeah,
to see it.
And you have a flute there. That looks like the bow of a fiddle. Tell us about. And I did know your dad. I did know some great musicians, fathers of some of the original groups of Cherish the Ladies. Just bring us to your growing up as an Outback in the Bronx, and the influence of Irish music, Irish traditional music, in your own house?
Well, you know, Adrian, as you know, you and my dad were great old buddies, and my father was a very well-known musician in the New York area. I can't go anywhere without going to a function where, your dad played my wedding, or, you know, the whole story, you know. And I know you ran around at the racket a long time yourself, and you can't even count how many weddings and dances you did down through the years. Growing up, my father was an All-Ireland champion on the accordion, and my mother from County Clare, from Milltown Albion, as you mentioned. But my father, was thrilled when I showed some interest in music, and I was very, very fortunate. Good God, the musicians that we had around town, just some of the best. And, you know, unfortunately, we're losing a lot of them. Just, of course, our dear friend Martin Mulhare, who just passed away. Our dear friend, you know, and I got to play with Martin for years. But my father, he never pushed music on any of my – I'm one of seven children. But he never pushed it on any of us, and he said, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. But he was delighted and happy as a lark when I showed interest in that. And I started taking lessons from Jack Cohn, who just lived around the corner, and a fellow Galway man and a great friend of my father's. He was just five houses around the corner. And I would go take lessons with Jack, and had so many great influences with Mike Rafferty and wonderful flute player Mike Preston from the Tullah Cayley Band.
Oh, my
and
God, yes.
All the great, 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 great musicians we had. And, never – I got the bug, as they say. The bug bit me in a big way, and I went off to college to become an accountant, and that didn't last long. All I wanted to do was being a musician, and my parents had a heart attack, you know.
Yeah.
Over my dead body, you being a musician, Joni, do you hear me? Do you hear me over my dead body?
I know.
Anyway, that obviously he said to me, yeah, when I quit college, he says, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to play my music around the world. He says, you're going to play your music around the world. I'll be picking you up at the Bowery. But anyway, I have managed, with Cherish the Ladies, we got together. And, you know, and the fact, as you mentioned earlier, when we all realized that we were all daughters of musicians, and even to this day, even though the band has, changed a bit, I have a lot of the same band here now. 20 years we're together. But we're all daughters of musicians, and we had that wonderful gift of the music being passed down in the family, and, our fathers really, bestowing on us, they're a great gift.
Right.
And we've gotten away, so far now we've wound up recording 17 albums, and we've done almost 5,000 shows around the world with the band, and here we are now, 35 years. And again, never in my wildest dreams that I think in a million years that we would ever get this far. So, pretty incredible.
Would your dad today, we know he would be very proud, but would he be surprised that in branching out, now you're, as a flautist and as somebody who started off there, that you and indeed Cherish the Ladies, some of the members of the band, you've collaborated with such musicians as, and I want to start with this, the Boston Pops. You know, it's like incredible how you cross from, you know, your beginning as a flautist, you know, pretty much trained in Irish music. How amazing is it that you should wind up, you know, playing with the Boston Pops, an orchestral, that a lot of your, your experience, again, you've sold over 500,000 records, solo albums, and performed over like 200 recordings, including, you know, the Grammy-winning albums, running the whole gamut. But you take the Boston Pops and then Pete Seeger, Sinead O'Connor, that type of diversity and so forth. Chicken and the egg. Did you find them? Did they find you? Did your paths cross before you got together?
Well, you know, it's funny how I, when I was trying to get the band going, you know yourself, I told all the girls to quit their jobs, and I was taking any job I could get, anything, you know, and I was working. I was the booking agent, and I was doing everything, and I was actually booking up to 250 shows a year at the time. But I took a wedding for a cocktail hour for a Chinese couple. So I got there, and nobody could speak English at the wedding, but they liked my Song of the Irish Whistle album, the one that sold to 500,000. It was very, 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 very popular in China, and they wound up completely robbing me, putting out numerous and numerous, numerous CDs of the music. In fact, when the first time I arrived into Beijing, I was coming through the airport with the girls, and I was playing on the intercom, so I knew I was popular when I was playing in Beijing in the airport. But anyway, we wound up playing this Chinese wedding, and after we did the cocktail hour with the girls, we packed up the gear, and we got out to the car, and I go in to talk to the people, and then they somehow got the translator to tell me, no, we weren't just the cocktail hour band. We were playing the wedding.
Nice.
And now we didn't have any music for a wedding band. And it was a room full of 250 Chinese people. What the hell do you do with them?
Yeah.
But anyway, long story, we didn't know what to do. We didn't have 4 hours.
Yeah. What do they do with you?
Exactly. But we didn't have 4 hours of wedding music. We didn't have, for God's sakes. But anyway, I taught them the Siege of Venice. That's all they wanted to do over and over and over again was the Siege of Venice. They thought it was the greatest thing they ever did. So anyway, long story short, the girls were ready to kill me because now they were getting the same amount of money for the cocktail hour that they were for the wedding. It was a total miscommunication. But if darts could kill, the eyes, the looks I was getting, forget about it. But lo and behold, 2 days later, I get a phone call from the Boston Pops. And I thought somebody was pulling my leg. I hung up on them. And this is God's truth, Adrian. I hung up on them. And the guy called me back again. And I said, stop playing, fooling me. And he said, look, here's my phone number at the Boston Pops. Call me back. Write this down. Call me back. And he hangs up on me. So I wind up calling back the Boston Pops. And I speak to the director of the Boston Pops. And he said, we've heard your music, and we want to know who's the whistle player. I said, well, that's me. And they said, oh, my God, we love it. They said, our principal concertmaster of the Boston Pop Symphony was at a wedding on Sunday. So the concertmaster of the Boston Pops was at that Chinese wedding and saw the way we entertained the crowd. And that we wound up going there, and we wound up playing with we did five shows with them the first year.
My God.
And then we went on to record an album, and it was nominated for a Grammy for Best Classical Crossover.
Right.
But the crazy thing now is, Adrian, I mean, and we were scared to death. We hadn't a clue. But long story short, now we have become the most successful Celtic Pops in history. We've done over 300 nights of symphony orchestra. So, you know, it's incredible. And we love it. And you know what we love is the fact that the admiration for the orchestra. I mean, we didn't take your tour lure lures. We actually do real traditional Irish jigs and reels, and we arranged it for symphony. And I have to say, the audience and the orchestra themselves love the music. So we get asked back all the time, a lot of the orchestra players. Plus, we have the crack with them. So
yeah.
A lot of the times we'll be very serious and very stiff, and we're having the laugh, and we have the dancers and the singers and the musicians. And again, I'm very blessed with the wonderful crew I have on the road with me. So, as you know, the long story short, as my father would say, you never know. You might not know them, but they know you, and you never know who's watching you. And there you go. That Chinese wedding has led to one of the most, one of the most fruitful collaborations the band has ever happened. You know, there you go.
Yeah. I want to, to talk a little bit, about some of the other artists, world-renowned artists, for instance, that you have collaborated with, the Clancy Brothers, the Chieftains, Nancy Griffith, Vince Gill. I mean, you can just go down the line, Arlo Guthrie,
well,
Mauro O'Connor.
Yeah.
They're just... now, how does that actually become a reality? Are there emails back and forth? Are there agents who are, hounding?
Yeah, well, when you go around the block long enough, you get to meet all the people. And, a lot of the people hear about you because they're doing performing arts centers, and they'll, like, if I'm sitting in a dressing room, you're just going around the dressing room and you're looking at the posters, who's coming up,
Yeah.
And that's how I would learn about a lot of people who are traveling around. And a lot of these people have seen us, Arlo Guthrie, I reached out to Arlo and I asked him, and he'd heard of us, was wonderful. And, getting phone calls from Dan Fogelberg. He heard our version of Leader of the Band that we recorded, getting a phone call from him. And, we were unbelievably overwhelmed to be invited to play Bob Dylan's private party after his 30 years in the garden with the who's who of the who's who, and meeting, seeing like the likes of Eric Clapton come up to us and George Harrison from the Beatles, just all loving the Irish music. They put their, the Eagles were there, the Stones were there, and everybody appreciates Irish music, and they all really enjoy it. But, it's just from heading around, going around that block long enough, we've crossed a lot of paths with so many great people and great fans and followers of the music. Geez, when you sit to think about who we've met. But this little country of Ireland has gone a long way, and, this girl from the Bronx has gone a long way with the music of my parents. It's just insane how many people around the world flock to this music and love it and enjoy it, and from all ethnicities and backgrounds, and it's just mind-boggling of where it's gone. But there's something so beautiful about this music and so touching and heartfelt. And speaking of heartfelt, is I'm really heartfully missing the audiences in the live performance. We've been forced online with Zooms and.
Yeah.
Trying to play remotely and record and yourself. You can't put a bunch of people on top of each other. We're longing for the day to be in the pub playing a few tunes with somebody spilling a Guinness down your back and everybody trying to catch the music and missing a handshake and missing a hug and missing the live audiences and just being able to go out and enjoy music. We're just longing for those days to get back to normal again.
Having traveled literally throughout the world, places that I'm sure you or definitely we would have to look up and see, look at the map and see where the hell that place is, and that was before GPS. Is there something very special about, coming to Ireland, coming back to Ireland, being equally popular throughout the island of Ireland? Is there something that, do you pack for in Ireland and know that you are expected, to top everything that you have done previously? Or is it more relaxed? for you and the church related?
Oh, the pressure's still on, you know. As this, I remember when Patty Maloney said to me, you young pups, you're nipping at my heels, you know. You have to keep me on my game. And it's kind of the same now that I can feel the same thing. You know, you always have to be on your game, and you always have to be writing new music and creating new music. And, you know, we do a big concert every year. Like, we sell out the Glasgow Royal Concert Hall, 2,500-seat venue on a Monday night or a Tuesday night. That's what they always give us because they know we sell it out. To have a big, massive following there, you know. At the end of the day, you only have one reputation. You only have, you know, one chance to get the people there. And if you put on a bad show, you won't get them back. So, you know, this stage of the game, you still have to put your best foot forward. You have to throw 100% into the game. And, but we're still creating. This being over here, I've been writing a lot of music now. But, you know, at the beginning of the COVID breakdown, like I missed, oh my God, I didn't know what to do with myself. But now that I finally stopped for a while and, you know, you kind of go, boy, this is actually, it's kind of nice. sleeping in my own bed for a couple of months, I couldn't tell you, you know, doing, you know, I mean, yeah. We've never done less than 150 cities a year for the last 35 years. You know, I have two homes now, one in New York and one here. So it's great to be over here and just to kind of soak up the whole landscape. There's something about being back here that just touches my soul. And I don't know what it is. As soon as I arrive over here, I just get this lovely feeling that I'm home in a way. It's kind of a crazy feeling. But I'm here where my mother comes from in County Clare and beautiful Milltown and Malby. And usually there's music most nights of the week here. And people just really adore the music. And they're very unpretentious and just very salt of the earth people. And they're thrilled to see me come back. But they always see when, as soon as they see me, and I just wrote a tune, they say to me, oh, Joni, you're back. When are you leaving?
That's very, very Irish. Yeah. Oh, it's great to see you. When are you leaving? Yeah.
Yes.
On that note, again, you know, if you had to, you and Cherish the Ladies, considering that you've covered the world, if you had to get stuck somewhere, it might as well be in County Clare. Best to your mom, and of course to all the girls.
Well, so Adrian, I have one question. How many years are you on the air now?
51. And actually, 51. But you don't get any recognition for 51. But then for those who say, well, the 50th year must have been just amazing. You know, it came and went, and the one said hello, or, you know.
Well, hello from me.
Yeah.
And congratulations to a man who has dedicated so much of their life, and Anya by your side there, to creating this program for so many millions of people to have listened to down through the decades.
Yeah.
You know, you've always been a voice of reason and a wonderful person to talk to. And, you know, I do hundreds of interviews a year, but it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I feel like
thank
I'm talking
you.
To an old friend.
Yeah, but,
so
you know,
you are an old friend.
Yeah, you are an old friend. And as I say, when you see the photograph of Cherish the Ladies in our studio back in the late 80s, you'll know, by God, I'll tell you. Although I'm looking at it again now, and geez, I don't know. All right, let's have it go.
Listen, lovely to talk to you, and thank you very much to yourself and your producer there. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure, and God bless and safe. Can't wait to give you a big old bear hug, all right?
Fantastic. Okay. All right.
Bye-bye, Adrian.
Joni Madden, an amazing talent, musician, and changed the music business. Male-dominated period up until, you know, Joni and the girls would change forever and say, step aside, we're very much a part of the Irish music scene. So, 35 years later. Okay.